Let's pray. O Lord in heaven, speak to your children. Amen. I want you to imagine, choir, with me for a minute. In the ancient days, when they had kings, the kings had personal servants. Personal servants. Every morning, that king would be greeted by his personal servant. He was the first person to see the monarch. This was the custom. He brought maybe some water, some wine, some food. That was the custom. And he was the one who let everybody else know that the king was well. I want you to imagine, congregation, one morning when the personal servant of Nebuchadnezzar came. It was normal for him to greet the king, to pull back the holy shroud over the royal shroud from around the royal bed and to greet the king with something to drink. Just imagine it now. But on this particular morning, at least according to what the Bible indicates in Daniel 4, when the personal servant shows up, the king is not in his bed. He's not there. Rick, there's immediate alarm because, Sister Peters, this is not the way things ought to be. You come in the morning, you're the first to greet the king, you pull back the royal shroud, you see his royal head on the royal pillow, you give him whatever you've brought, you assist him as he gets ready to meet the responsibilities of his day. That's the way it's supposed to be, and you're not looking for any change in that pattern that you've had for years and years. Nebuchadnezzar has been king now for 30 years. He's not in bed. There's panic, but not total panic. And so Lisa, he begins to look. Maybe the king has stepped to the private place. Maybe something else came up he wasn't told about. But he can't find the king. And the last thing he wants to do, Cecil, is go back to the guard and say, the king is not here. He must have some form of explanation. This is the ruler of the then known world. You don't misplace the king. He's tried every place he can, and then it suddenly occurs to him, he has not checked the royal yard, for behind the quarters of the king is a special yard for him to exercise, to enjoy flowers and various things to give him a sense of peace and care. And so he says, I'll just peek out there. And when he peeks out there, what he sees blows his mind. For out there in the back of the yard is something that looks like the king. There are purple robes on it. But when he calls to it, it turns its eyes. There is grass hanging from the mouth, saliva going into the beard. The eyes are vacant. The fingernails are long. And the mouth moves and no words come out. And suddenly, the servant of the king realizes that's the king. The king has lost his mind. He looks like a beast. He's acting like a beast. And we are shocked with this servant. But we are more shocked when we recognize that what has happened to Nebuchadnezzar can happen to us. For For I declare in my first point in this sermon, there is a beast in all of us. And if you do not yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, at some point that beast in you will take charge. For you can't keep saying no to the Holy Spirit. It all started simple enough. Hear me. This is an important sermon, Anastasia. Hear me. It all started simple enough in chapter 1 when Nebuchadnezzar was first introduced to the true God. There were these young men, these four young men that were brought in with all the other eunuchs, and they refused to eat the king's food. And they said to the one in charge of them, "Let us eat a different kind of food for 10 days. Check us out. See how we're doing." They did that, checked them out. They were doing fine for the next 3 years. They ate nothing but pulse, while the rest of the group ate all the king's delicacies. At the end of 3 years, when Nebuchadnezzar had his final board exams, these four young men stood taller than all the rest. You remember the story? Right there in the Bible, chapter 1. And he is so impressed, he promotes them to be leaders in the kingdom. And he's told by his servants, these young men are from Judea. And they serve what they say is the only one and true God, and they hold to his principles. This is why they seem to have excelled. And Nebuchadnezzar is impressed, but he's not overly impressed. I'm in chapter 2. It's a few years later. He has this dream. You remember the story. There's this image, head of gold, and the shoulders of silver, and the belly of brass, and the thighs of iron, the feet of iron and clay, and he calls in his special people to interpret this thing for him, but he says, "I have one problem. I need you to tell me the dream, then interpret it." Of course, the request is crazy. They cannot do it, and they ask for mercy. He says, "No, you're just planning to deceive me. I'm going to have all of you taken out." So happens, though, that a part of this group was Daniel and his friends. When the guard comes to kill them, they said, "What's the problem? Why so hasty?" He explains the problem. His name is Arioch. Daniel says, "Let me go see the king. Talk with him. Listen to me, folk." I'm in chapter 2 now. He says to the king, "Just give us some time. We know somebody who knows somebody who can interpret this dream." And so they go and pray, the Bible says, all night long. Well, not really all night long, because he gets a vision in the night. The Bible is clear, it's a vision in the night, which means he went to sleep. Oh, shoot, y'all, come on now. Anticipating death and brutality, these four young men sleep because they know once you talk to God and put things in God's hands, everything's going to be just fine. Wake up the next morning, they have the interpretation of the dream, go to the king, give him the interpretation, and at the end of chapter 2, you're turning there, you might as well use your Bible, you brought it, chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, we see just a little bit of a change and the attitude of the king toward this God. For he says, having seen this miracle, his dream told him, he could not remember, his dream interpreted in verses 46 and 47. Look at this. Look at this. You see it on the screen? Yes. Can you read?
Yes.
Read. Come on. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present on offering an incense to him. He's deeply moved. Read on. Read on. Read on. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly, hold," he's making progress. He didn't say he is the God, but he's a God of gods. He's getting a little bit closer. He's coming along. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you should be thankful that the Lord has not required of you to be holy overnight. He takes us step by step. Amen. Would somebody say amen?
Amen?
In fact, I read Ellen White. She says very clearly that if the Lord showed you all at once all the mess you must overcome to be saved, you would be so discouraged. You would not pray. So God reveals to you, first of all, that you're mean. And then he says you're also cantankerous. And next month he lets you know that you'll lie. After that, the next year, he tells you that you'll commit adultery. Nobody said amen. But it reveals your stuff to you step by step. little bit at a time, so you can gain victory as you are able. Somebody ought to praise God. So Nebuchadnezzar is making progress. He says, your God is the God of gods. Well, at least he's calling him God. See, we Seventh-day Adventists need to learn, folk, to let people grow in Christ step by step. We want them to come in church and put down everything. And we haven't put down everything. They get baptized one Sabbath, come back the next Sabbath with jewelry. We get all upset. Keep your mouth shut. Just keep your mouth shut. At least they came back to church. They give up pork and hog maws and shrimp. And we want them to give up pickles and stuff like that. They just gave up the pork. Leave the pickles alone. Let them grow in Jesus Christ. But we won't just let people do that. We have to have them all be righteous all of a sudden. Read all of Ellen White's writings. You ain't read but one yourself. Read all of Ellen White's writing and overcome every sin. God gives people a chance to grow. Want the young folk to be holy right now? You weren't holy when you were young. Want them to sing your old time songs? They like their new time songs. When you were young, your old time songs were new time songs. Woo, boy. So Neb is making some progress. He says, your God is a God of gods, and he promotes them. He's making progress. He's coming along. Chapter 3. I'm in chapter 3. Not going to preach long today. Chapter 3. In chapter 3, we can see that Neb has not really gotten where God wants him to be. You recall the vision that he had in chapter 2? Remember that the image had gold head? Remember that? Yeah. I just told you. You got to remember. I just told you. Gold head, shoulders of silver, belly of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron and clay. Well, Neb didn't like that vision. Because according to the vision, he was the head of gold. But the gold is going to be replaced by silver. That means that Neb's kingdom is going to end. He says, I'll fix that. I'll make an image. I'll make it all gold. And he gets engaged in the same sin we get engaged in, the worship of self. Make the whole image gold. They make some bow down to him. You know, I like God. God is a person who will just put you in your place, so nice, so kind. The word got back. Three guys did not bow. What has them brought before him? You've read the story, one of my favorite stories. And he said to them, if you don't bow down, I'm going to put you in the fiery furnace. And these young fellas, graduates of Tacoma Academy, I'm sure they were. These young fellows said to the king, look, we're not going to bow. And even if the Lord doesn't preserve us, we're not going to bow. Amen. Give them fellows a hand. They're some terrible fellows. Yes, sir. Came out of Tacoma Academy, went on to Washington Adventist University, and now they're standing tall before the king. We're not going to bow. He tosses them in. But you see, you can't mess with God. Amen. Somehow between the time that they were tossed and flying through the air, hey, Jesus left glory.
My Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes.
And before they hit the bottom, Jesus was standing there in the furnace, walking and talking like a natural man. And the king, who can see, he's dumb now, but he can see. He says, didn't we put three men in there? Don't I see four? And then he says, one looks like the son of the gods. He's making progress. Somebody give him good amen. He now recognizes the singularity of God. See, your problem in your Christian walk is this. Here's what it is. Pastor's going to tell you. You've been so busy keeping the Sabbath, returning tithe, and eating veggie links, you have not ever learned that the real important thing in the church is to get to know God.
Amen.
The church, the Adventist church, is full of people who don't know God. We worship our religion. Did you hear what I just said? Good, I'll say it again. We worship our religion. We worship the fact that we are Seventh-day Adventists. I have not read that anywhere in this Bible. Worship the Lord. Worship his son, Jesus Christ. Are you with me? And you can be so caught up in all the things we do as Adventists, and of course we have the long list of things we don't do, that you forget God did not bring you into the church just to keep a day, return tithe, and not eat certain things. God brought you in the church because you're unholy. And he's trying to use the church to make you holy in Jesus Christ. If somebody would just say amen, it would help me out a whole lot right now. And so this man, Nebuchadnezzar, is making some progress. He's getting to know that there is a true, loving, and real God. We serve a God who's real. Hey, he's real. He's real. He does stuff. He makes planets. Come on, y'all. Wakes you up in the morning. Am I right about it? He can keep your car from crashing when it's going to crash. He can bring food where there's no food. Am I right about it? He can bring sunshine in the cold. He can keep you warm when you are cold. The God we serve is a real God. Nebuchadnezzar, we want to introduce you to a real God who stands in fiery furnaces and keeps the saints cool as air conditioning. So he says at the end of chapter 3, he's making a little progress. Chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. Nebuchadnezzar spoke. What you going to say, Neb? Saying, blessed be the God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel. Uh-oh, he's making progress. And delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word. Huh? Is he growing? Yeah, he's realizing, I'm not the boss. Yeah, that's important for you to learn. You're not the boss. You ain't running nothing. You ain't never made a decision worth a dime by yourself. Come on, somebody. Never. Never. We need to get the word my mind out of our conversation. All that we have is God's. Anything decent we've done is God's. Any decent thing we've said, it's God. It's all God. And he's learned that right here. And he says he delivered his servants who trusted in him. Oh, my, Nebuchadnezzar. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any except their own God. Well, he's not quite there. He says their own God. He's not claiming him yet, Pastor Marley, but he's getting there. Therefore, I make a decree. Now, here's where you see he is not quite grown up yet. That any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Now, come on, Neb. Come on. He's coming. Now, come on, give him a good amen. He's coming. He recognized God, but he's still got the old self in him. Now he wants to cut people up who are not Seventh-day Adventists. He wants to condemn to hell everybody's not in the SDA church. Come on, Neb. You can't do that. That's not salvation. But he is making progress. Aren't you glad that even though you've been in the church for 55,000 years, God still allows that meanness in you to come forth sometime, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Don't come tell me you've been in the church 50 years. That don't mean nothing to me. You still got some cracks in your armor. And the Lord that we serve will expose you. He will expose you. You can eat all the veggie links and chocolate you want, drink all the carrot juice you want, wear a long dress so even your ankles don't show, and still be mean as hell. God is going to expose you. Did he say that? What did he say in church? Oh my, did he say that? Yes, he did. He meant every word of it. God is tired of people playing games with him in church. And that old mean streak, even though he now confesses God is God, Anastasia, he says it, now he wants to cut people up because they're not returning tithe. And then he says there, be made a dunghill. I mean, he's going to tear them up. So we still, Larry Bailey, he's still got some growing to do, but he's coming. Now you're ready for chapter 4. That's where I started. In chapter 4, God is still trying to get this rascal straight. See, the subject of my sermon is, finally. I'm preaching on the subject, finally. So in chapter 4, are you enjoying the sermon?
Yeah. I am.
Yes, I sure am. So in chapter 4, he gets another dream. See, look how patient God is. Gets another dream. Tree. This time he's a tree. Great big tree. All the birds rest in him. All the cattle stand under him. All the people. He's a tree. See, that's you. That's yourself. Listen to the pastor. God can't save you till he whittles down your self-image. You just think too much of yourself. You think you're a tree. You think everybody depends on you. Sabbath school can't run without you. Church can't run without you. You know, you'll be very surprised after you die to find out more folks gonna be doing fine after you die than when you were alive. Am I right about it? So here he is. Here he is. He's all boasted up. He's a tree. But he hears a voice, Sister Choir Director. Hears a voice saying, "Hey, cut down that tree." But, oh, I love the Bible. I love the Bible. But it says, save the roots. Now, I could spend an hour preaching on save the roots, and I'm not going to do that to you. Save the roots, Rodney. Save the roots. Okay. He wakes up. I want somebody to explain the dream to me. Well, the same old group, that same chapter 2 group, they can't do nothing. They show up again in chapter 4. Still can't do nothing. So somebody says, "King, you know, there's this guy named Daniel." "Oh, yeah, I remember him. Yeah, bring him in." Oh, I get tickled. See, Daniel's no dummy. When Daniel hears the dream, he recognizes what's going on. And it says in verse 19, having heard the dream, that Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, "Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you." Belteshazzar answered and said, "My lord, may the dream concern those who hate you and its interpretation concern your enemies." Now, Daniel's no dummy. He realizes in the dream that Neb's going to get it. So he's trying to figure, how do I, kind of ease in on this thing? Because, this is a guy that cuts people up, tears the houses asunder. Daniel's no dummy. I got to figure a way to save this so I can go home after this and still have a salary and my house. So he says to the king, "Look, this dream is for your enemies." That's a good start, Daniel. I wouldn't have thought of that. It's for your enemies, and for those who hate you. Then he goes over and tells him what's going to happen. Now, verse 22. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar, and the next phrase blows my mind. It says, at the end of 12 months. You guys stop talking when I'm preaching. At the end of 12 months. At the end of 12 months. Now, God gave him a year. How long did he give him?
A year.
Those young fellows, they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. Their parents have done worse. 12 months. How long did he give him?
12 months.
Hey, listen to me. How long did he give him?
12 months.
12 months. 12 months he had to learn from the dream.
My Jesus.
How long do you have? See, now the sermon is getting serious. 12 months he knew the tree was going to be cut down. 12 months he knew the voice from heaven had spoken. 12 months he had time to get himself together. You see, at some point, my dear brother and sister, at some point, finally, at some point, we need to get straight. Finally. All this worship in church on Sabbath, all these sermons, all these weeks of prayer, all these Sabbath school lessons, all these certificates on our wall, we took this and that and the other, and we listened to Voice of Prophecy and all that kind of stuff. God ain't saving you all. None of that! He wants people who have yielded fully to him. Fully. No games, no play. Fully committed. That's what he wants. And Nebuchadnezzar had chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, and nothing has happened. And God finally says, I'm going to have to deal with you, but I'm going to give you a year to think about it. What effect did the year have on Nebuchadnezzar? Verse 30. Then the king spoke, saying, Oh, my Lord.
Mercy.
Oh, my Lord. Let's read it. Come on. Everybody, come on. That's enough. That's enough. That ain't working, Neb. That ain't working. You got to get the I out of you. That's the problem.
My Jesus.
I has gotten you in trouble over and over and over again. And being a Seventh-day Adventist doesn't take the I out of you. In fact, for some of us, it's made the eye bigger. Because I'm an elder, and I'm the treasurer, and I'm a deacon. I'm a deaconess, and I'm in the choir. I! God doesn't care anything about the titles you hold. There's only one title that counts. Forgiven.
Thank you, Jesus.
Forgiven.
Thank you, Lord.
That's it, Rick. Forgiven.
Yes, sir.
Well, there he is. Now I know why verse 33 is in the Bible of chapter 4. That very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men, ate grass like an oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's wings, feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. He was that way for 7 years. He'd rather have grass in the morning than eggs in the morning. 7 years, no haircut. 7 years, no pedicure, no manicure. 7 years, he's the king. Now, if you read this from the standpoint of the worldly historians, what they simply say is that there was a period of time when King Nebuchadnezzar was not available to the public. And so what happened is that the army and the chief people, knowing that if people knew Nebuchadnezzar was dead, there might be a coup, they pretended like he was not available and protected him for 7 years. For 7 years, not a bath! King of Kings for 7 years. But thank God, the Bible said, save the roots. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Save the roots. Don't you ever count anybody out that has left the church. Don't ever count anybody out that you heard got caught with drugs. Don't count that person out that you heard got involved with someone and broke up their marriage. Don't count people out because they stopped coming to church. Just keep your mouth shut. Pray for yourself. Pray for them. And remember that God loves to save the root. Somebody say amen out there. Just when you count that person out, just when you think they will not make it, just when you've decided you'll never see them again, they walk back in church. They will go to the same golden city you will go to. Even though they've been out of the church for 50 years and you sit in for 100, they'll worship the same God you worship with, walk the same golden streets you walk. They will have the same white robe you wear. Why? Because my God saves the roots. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. I'm done. I'm done. No need of just preaching on and on and on and on. Either you got it or you didn't. Where are you in this story? Where are you in this story I just told? What part of Daniel 4 are you living in? Are you in that year? Or has the beast already crawled out in you? Are you in Daniel 1 just finding out that there is a God who loves you? Are you in Daniel 2? Beginning to understand how mighty he is? Are you in Daniel 3? You know now he really is God, but you still got some stuff in you. You still want to cut people up. Heskey, we got to figure out where we are in this story. It's important. You want to sing for me?
Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust.
Thankful that in your life, in your worst moments, God saved your roots. He saved your roots. You were out there and it wasn't going good at all, but God saved your roots. If you're thankful, would you stand on your feet right now? Next verse.
Forsaken, take.
that someone here need to do more than just stand up with the big group. Maybe you have given some thought to making a decision for Christ in this church. Maybe you recognize you may need to do some Bible study. You'd like to indicate that. Now, I know there are chairs all down front, music, that doesn't intimidate me at all. If you can find the courage to come forward down one of these aisles, I'll meet you. If you want to say that special yes to Jesus today and present your life to Him. Give me another verse, young lady. Someone who will come.
To Jesus.
Just pray, folks. If you're not coming, pray. Truth is, Jesus, every last one of us is in chapter 4. Every last one of us is in chapter 4. If we don't conquer that beast through the Holy Ghost, it will conquer us. Self will kill us. Jesus can save us. We claim your grace and your mercy. And thank you for the piercing nature of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.